part one of Born to Serve, I explore the nature of the soul and its relationship to service. I define the role of service in spiritual traditions and address how our hidden motivations, our shadow, can impact the quality of our service. I provide a psychological and spiritual framework for service, which includes the urge to serve, the natural laws of service, the power of choice, the parameters of the soul's evolution, the shifting consciousness of service, the dimensions of service, duty, charity, purification, devotion, and the shadow of service. In part two of Born to Serve, I add to this context by providing specific information about each of the seven evolutionary stages of service, its characteristics, its process, its shadow, the crisis that begins the transition to the next stage, and supports a person needs to move through each stage. Let's go deeper and explore the nature of our soul and how it evolves. What is the human soul? The human soul is a spark of God, the real human essence, your true self. The fundamental purpose and activity of the soul is to manifest spiritual knowledge and wisdom in the material world one step at a time. There are four major aspects of the soul's evolution. 1. The soul is complete and whole. What evolves is our awareness of its ever-present perfection. However, this is not an all-or-none event. That is, we can pay a return visit to lessons that on a conscious level we believe we have mastered, such as when we surprise ourselves by repeating a behavior long since abandoned. On this return visit, we usually explore it with deeper awareness. Return visits of the soul help us to uncover a truth or nugget of wisdom not previously seen. The second aspect, our soul's unfoldment is evolutionary. The soul at each stage of its release is perfect, even though its full potential is not yet realized. Ken Wilber, a leading writer on consciousness and transpersonal psychology, writes, "Evolution is best thought of as spirit in action, God in the making, where spirit unfolds itself at every stage of development, thus realizing more of itself at every unfoldment." Let's return to the Michelangelo metaphor as a way to illuminate the nature of the soul's evolution. Just as Michelangelo's uncompleted statues are esteemed masterpieces, our soul at each stage of its release into being is perfect, even though its full potential is not yet realized. Michelangelo's unfinished works serve as a metaphor for understanding that the soul's essence or wholeness is retained while simultaneously engaging in the process of unfoldment. Just as an arm or leg emerging from one of Michelangelo's unfinished sculptures, a part of us can emerge from our soul. Whatever stage the sculpture is in, it is beautiful, a complete work of art. The same can be said of us. Our soul at each stage of its release into being is perfect, even though its full potential is not yet realized. How important it is to acknowledge the beauty of each step, of each soul opportunity. How can we judge or condemn each step of the journey to full expression of our soul's perfection? Evolution entails numerous stages of development, changes, steps, characteristics. Wisdom learned from each stage is brought forward to the next. Evolution moves from a lack of awareness of the potential wealth of the soul's knowledge that resides within us to receiving spiritual teachings that embody wisdom and understanding. The third major aspect of the soul's evolution is that our soul's unfoldment is holographic in nature. In the soul's unfoldment process and progress, every individual and collective human action, decision, and relationship is visible. That means that I express and embody the same stage of soul development when I drive a car, give a speech, speak with a friend, go grocery shopping, visit my parents, etc. The fourth aspect. The soul's process of evolution is unique to each person. We don't evolve with the same talents or tendencies, nor at the same pace. Because appearances are unreliable sources of truth, we cannot assess the actual level of our own or another's soul, even when appearances suggest a given stage of development. Our level of soul development is not determined by our work in the world, the amount of money we have, how we look, or how intelligent we are. The seven evolutionary stages of the soul that I identify and describe in Born to Serve most closely mirror those of Saint Teresa de Avila, who lived from 1515 to 1582, whose life, by the way, coincided with Michelangelo's, who lived from 1475 to 1564. Saint Teresa wrote The Interior Castle in the 16th century, in which she described stages of soul development. She used the metaphor of a castle as the site of the soul's experiences. It is an image that encompasses the entire soul journey, from the beginning in the outer courtyard to the conclusion of the soul's journey in the center. The only purpose for seeking the inner room of the castle where God dwells, Saint Teresa wrote, is to take what one experienced there out into the world to help others. However, she didn't describe exactly how to do that. I felt called to extend her model, describing the specific nature of the soul's experiences of service in today's world during each phase of the inward journey. Before I give an overview of the stages, let me stress that the soul's evolution is best viewed as a spiral. In this way, we view our journey as moving upward and inward, with a different perspective and understanding as we move on the spiral towards its center. We are at different places on the spiral, experiencing two poles of energy as we move through the stages. We are perfect and complete where we are, and so we feel pulled to stay there. At the same time, the pull to keep moving is strong, and so we feel pulled toward the next stage. To move forward, the pull forward must be stronger than the pull to stay where we are. Evolution infers a continuum of development rather than discrete categories. This statement is true for the seven stages of the evolution of the soul. Those in stages 1 through 4 are outer directed and focus on dependence, seeking value for something or someone outside of themselves in the world. Those in stages 5 and 6 are inner-directed and focus on interdependence, seeking their value from within through physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual care of the self and the practice of selfless service. Stage 7 focuses on the evolution of the soul and service after physical death. Each stage has inner and outer struggles of life, a worldview, a relationship with God, predominant shadow issues, gifts, and manner and motivation for service. These stages exist for individuals, leaders, groups, and organizations, which I write about in the Soul and Service Trilogy books. Stage 1, Awakening to Serve. Those in this stage have little or no motivation to help others. Their primary focus is on caring for their own physical and material needs. Stage 2, Work Ethic. As doers, these individuals seek to meet their physical and material needs and to bring order out of chaos through work. Their service is an extension of their work ethic. Our country values the work ethic, and it is a common stage in the United States. Stage 3, Missionary Attitude. Those in this stage engage in polarized thinking and thus have strong views of right and wrong, believing they absolutely know the right way. Stage 3 servers often meet their needs through causes and thus activists. They bring their work ethic skills forward with them. This stage is also common in the United States. Stage 4, Wounded Healer. Those in this stage serve with the often unconscious motive of depending on someone outside themselves to meet their physical and emotional needs and to give them a sense of being valuable. Stage 4 servers focus on achieving this through relationships. They bring work ethic skills forward with them. And because they often feel they know what's best, they can also bring the missionary attitude forward with them as well. At the end of stage 4, an individual makes a transition from being outer directed to inner directed. Stage 5, Healing the Healer. These individuals are self-responsible, doing shadow work, acknowledging the need to balance care of self with care of others, and practicing self-transformation through service. This stage lasts a long time as it is an undoing or healing of issues experienced in the first 4 stages. Stage 6, Selfless Action. Those in this stage have no attachment to the form and outcome of their service. Their selfless service is their spiritual practice. Stage 7, Beyond the Physical. After death, souls continue to evolve and serve in other dimensions. It is absolutely essential to understand the parameters of the stages. For example, one developmental stage is not better than another. Rather, we bring what we have learned, that is, our skills and wisdom, from one stage into the next. Because the stages are developmental, as in infancy through adulthood, it is not possible to skip a stage, although some individuals sometimes attempt to bypass the stage out of personal woundedness. Another parameter is that people transition through the four outer directed stages and arrive at three inner directed stages. And each stage has certain characteristics: a state of the self, a worldview, a relationship with God, shadow tendencies, a mode of service, a major obstacle or fear, a specific learning that is a gift to the server, a primary gift the server offers the world, support needs during the stage, and a period of transition into the next stage. Because individuals are unique, each stage has a range of possibilities for its expression. Typically, we experience a crisis near the end of one stage that propels us forward into the next stage of our soul development. We have many crises in our life as we move from one stage to another. Another parameter. As people develop, they sequentially move through all the stages. Therefore, all people tend to experience to varying degrees the wounds of each stage and also its lessons. Another parameter. People differ in how long they stay in a stage, but they are only in one stage at a time. We can stay in one stage our entire life, or we can move through several stages. Personality, soul age, life circumstance, and woundedness all affect how, when, and if we choose to move to the next stage of our soul development. Another parameter. Individuals may regress to an earlier stage under stress, and they may briefly experience a future stage as a glimpse of their potential. And finally, stages are related to the motivation and level of consciousness of individuals and not to the form of service in the world. The level of consciousness of servers determines the essence of our service. For example, it is possible to be an activist from the third stage and view the world as black and white. It is also possible to be an activist from stage 5 and view the world as a classroom for psycho-spiritual learning and growth. I close sharing a poem, The Essence of Moving Through the Stages. We climb the spiritual mountain, step by step, a journey made alone, though we are not lonely. We walk with others. We pass and are passed. We meet teachers and stop to learn. We meet students and stop to teach. We lose our footing and slide into darkness. Someone pulls us to safety. We don't know who. We know only to do the same for others. Walking each step of the path, resolving challenges, avoiding none, there are no detours or skipping steps. Although we are free to turn back or stop moving forward, facing and conquering obstacles, inner strength and wisdom emerge. Anchored with strength in the unknowable absolute, secure in the knowledge of the true self, we become the mountain.